Our next speaker is Mr. Richard Stevens from Boeing. Prior to his appointment as Vice President and General Manager of Boeing's reusable space system, Rick Stevens has held the position of the Vice President and also as General Manager and Vice President Tactical Systems between 89 and 95.
Dr. Engstrom, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, I know it's a long evening thus far, and we've got a number of speakers to go on with. It's my pleasure to really kick off the industry presentations this evening. The first three you've heard through thus far are really from a government perspective, and I hope that that the industry perspectives will be a little bit different and help challenge some of our thoughts and ideas about where the space launch business is going. I'm really going to break my presentation into three sections. First is to provide some insight about the organization of the Boeing Company. Some of us who are in Boeing get asked the regular question, would you please explain the current Boeing organization structure, since we've undergone a number of changes, and so I'll provide some background and perspective on that. Second, I will talk to some of the approaches that we have in dealing with the market for our launch services. And third, I'll raise some questions and some key issues that I think provide some food for thought as we have this debate about which is the right way to approach the future of the launch business. This first chart, this next chart really talks to the new Boeing Company. And I think you're all aware that we are an organization that's consisting of the heritage Boeing, McDonnell Douglas, and Rockwell. And we are now a new Boeing Company that is organized into three principal business areas. The Commercial Airplane Group, our Aircraft and Missiles, and Space and Communications. Our overall objectives of the company, of course, are to pick out of the three the best of world-class people, processes, and tools that we can use across the enterprise to ensure that we provide our customers with what their needs and launch services capabilities require, and third, to provide an excellent return to our shareholders. We focus on really three core competencies, and that is solid understanding of our customers in the marketplace. Second is focus on large-scale systems integration, of which the launch services is one of those. And third is make sure we have lean, efficient manufacturing and delivery of services to our customers to keep our costs down. Now, this next chart really provides the first of two charts with regard to where we see ourselves in the marketplace. This first one from a space transportation standpoint. As you see up here, we have Shuttle, Delta II, Delta III are really the workhorses of the launch services business that we've been that we participated in. Of course, one from a shuttle standpoint being a government program, and then the Delta program being principally focused on the commercial market. As we continue on with the Delta IV and the investments we have ongoing today to bring Delta IV online to increase capabilities and further reduce the launch costs, and then support the evolved expendable launch vehicle systems for not only the U.S. government, but also evolve that in the commercial marketplace. Of course, we have sea launches further away to reduce our costs. With the sea launch program, our fundamental strategy there was to reduce the operational cost through an innovative launch operations approach, using existing launch hardware, but being able to move that closer to the launch site and being able to, once again, to reduce our operational cost. You heard Gary talk a little bit about a couple technology programs, FutureX, which we just submitted two proposals on, aimed at working with NASA and developing technologies necessary for the future launch business. You also see one up there, SMV, Space Maneuvering Vehicle, which we have a contract with the U.S. Air Force, and successfully flew that vehicle here about 2 months ago, demonstrating autonomous landing. And you see down at the end there, we, from a Boeing standpoint, are believers in two-staged orbit reusable launch vehicles. I will talk to you a little bit later about the importance of having a good solid banking investment and the need for margins to be successful in a commercial market-driven environment. We have a number of vehicle subsystems and orbital subsystems, but I will not talk about those since that is not the focus of this presentation. Let's go on to the next chart. If we look at another key element of our business, our space and communications, this chart talks to the communication side, really communication networks, satellite systems, defense systems, airborne surveillance systems. My principal purpose for putting this chart up is to really highlight that there are a number of technologies that span our space and communications business that are equally or that are important to being able to reduce the overall launch costs. We look at this as a system, and we look at it from a total standpoint of how we can affect each of the elements necessary to reduce cost of access to space and deliver systems into orbit. And that's really what this next chart talks to. This next chart really provides some perspective about what's going on in the marketplace. And I think most of us have come from an environment of government involvement where, and you see, you know, a relatively flat environment of spending in the government environment and sector aimed at launch services. And having come out of the DoD environment, worked with that now in the NASA environment, but notice the scale on the government side versus the scale on the commercial side. And what we see is what's really driving the launch services business and the drive to reduce costs is the commercial business. That is, in fact, a fixed-price business. My background and experience tells me that in a cost-plus environment, people and organizations tend to drive and support their cost justification because that's the way in which they get a return, particularly in a cost-plus environment. In a fixed-price environment, it's quite the opposite. We do everything we can to reduce costs so we can get a margin that's acceptable to our shareholders. And it is, in fact, the significant growth from the $30 billion per year to well over $100 billion per year that we see the commercial market is driving us and the need to be successful in the current in the commercial launch operations. And I think a number of people have talked at earlier presentations. You know, we see on the average or somewhere in the neighborhood of close to 2,000 commercial launches over the life, over the next 10 years, at least what shows up on this chart. Now, as we look at some, what are some key metrics? You see in terms of price per pound on the left, on the right we see performance going up, and across the bottom we see the nature of the business environment which we're working in. Presently, you know, the majority of our business being a government, then we see a mix between government commercial in the middle of the next decade, and we see beyond this next decade mostly a commercial business. Which is really driving down to a point somewhere having a launch services capability at less than $500 per pound. And that $500 per pound is not operations cost, it's total cost, including acquisition, development of the system, as well as the operations, because in a commercial environment we have to amortize the total cost to get a good return for our shareholders. And you see, of course, a number of programs here, anywhere to support science, you know, communications, navigation, supporting the International Space Station crew return. And then further over in the far-out future, you see, you know, exploration, and even some would support the potential for adventure travel and fast package delivery. So we see that as some great market opportunities. I think one of the big debate is how long is this time scale? Is the time scale 20 years as depicted up there, or is it much longer than the 20 years? And that, once again, will also drive our investment picture. Let me talk a little bit about some of the things that we're doing to focus on shareholder value. And I choose the term shareholder value because that's how we get our investments from the Boeing Company in order to go pursue the business that we want. But fundamentally, our focus is to lower the cost of access to space. The first is to provide the most capable and best launch services. And we are making significant investments in the commercial launch industry. That's what's fueled the Delta IV. And that's measured in billions of dollars as opposed to hundreds of millions of dollars. And that commercial investment is similar to what we believe is going to be necessary for the future launch vehicles beyond the Delta configuration. We want to rely very heavily on government investment. I think we in the Boeing Company view that the X-33 program is an outstanding example of where the government can provide industry, you know, good resource dollars and technology dollars to go invest and develop the technologies necessary to be successful, not only for the government customers to meet their launch services needs, but also to posture us for the future of commercial requirements. The next, of course, is truly to focus on a reduction of and development of operational cost. That really comes in a couple forms. One is ourselves establishing what we call big, bodacious, hairy, audacious goals, or BHAGs. You heard Gary talk a little bit about some of those for the X-33 program. We believe it's fundamental to drive industry ourselves to really step out and break the barriers and do some step functions in launch operations and services costs. I think the other that we're doing is we as the Boeing Company from the three heritage companies have invested over $500 million over the last 9 years in looking at what some of the options and technology are to be successful in the future reusable launch systems business. The next is, of course, to transition more from a government base into a commercial base. And we've done that quite successfully in our expendables business. In the reusables business, though, we are still very much dependent upon, you know, government activity until we find sufficient margin in our technology and designs to be able to move into the reusables business. Because fundamentally, we must return value back to our shareholders. The fourth listed up there is to work globally. We believe that in order to be successful, that it requires a commitment on the part of the commercial industry to work with the global partners. In some cases, we have been competitors, and I think it makes good sense to share technology as well as share the investment to be successful in the market. And the fifth, which is one that we are taking significant advantage of right now, is to exploit the great synergy across the Boeing Company. That's really aimed at driving our costs down. And those costs are not only in the design development processes, but also in the infrastructure, what I call non-value-added costs. To give you a couple examples of those is shortly after coming on board, when I came on board my current assignment, we made a decision to move out of the Downey facility where a shuttle was designed and developed. And we are co-locating with our Huntington Beach organization, our expendables business, and really taking advantage of significant synergy of the technology that both businesses use, whether it's from the propulsion side or whether it's from the structure side. Fundamentally, the difference between our expendables business and our reusables business is reusables has to bring things down back in one piece, potentially including humans on board, and the expendables don't seem to worry about those things, at least at this point. We also see some great synergy opportunities for technology across the business. If we look at what's going on in our commercial airplane group, and if you were to go look at the shuttle that we recently returned back to NASA a week ago Sunday, you would find a cockpit that has in it the glass cockpit that is the same as in a Boeing 777 aircraft. We see avionics capabilities that can be used not only in the military side, but also in the reusables business. And so we have an organization called PhantomWorks, which has vested with looking at technology applications across the entire company for use in a number of businesses. And recently I added within my organization a close tie and link with our advanced space within PhantomWorks to ensure we in fact get that synergy. And so when I talk about the co-location earlier of our expendables business and reusables business, we also have elements of our PhantomWorks and advanced space organization working closely with us. We've also reached out to our commercial airplane group and are bringing them to be part of what we view as the future of reusable space systems. Now, this next chart really talks to what are some of the key issues and perspectives, at least from a Boeing Company standpoint, about where we see some important elements to debate and ensure that at least our positions are put on the table. The first is the important discussion of the government role in developing future launch capabilities. We believe that the government is headed in the right direction to truly focus on providing research dollars and research resources necessary to advance technology. We also think, though, it is vitally important that whatever comes out of those demonstrations or research programs is shared across industry, as opposed to being aligned with a particular company that may have been involved or fortunate to pursue that technology, and would hope that will happen. We also believe it's important for the government to clearly define their launch requirements so that we in industry can respond to them and figure out how to align that with our commercial launches and once again deliver good value back to our government customers. And I think another is to ensure that the government has a good understanding of what incentivizes us in industry. And as I mentioned earlier, it's return to shareholders because that's where we get our investment. And we do believe that it's going to be industry that funds the future reusable systems because that's going to be the driver and therefore need to make sure we have the proper incentives in place and the government recognizes that. I think the second point up there is talking about working in a global market. This is clearly a global market we're working in. We in the Boeing Company well understand that, particularly as we look at our commercial airplane group. And if we look at the business relationships that we've established in that area, we intend to establish very similar relationships as we look at the launch services business. The next is key future technologies. You've heard some presentations earlier today, and you'll hear more on speakers to follow me about some of the key technologies, and so I'll not dwell on those, but recognize that propulsion and performance in propulsion is really a key enabler as we look at getting payloads into space. And that's why we're pleased to be providing the Aerospike engine on the X-33. We think that's an excellent opportunity to really advance the state-of-the-art in technology in propulsion systems. I think one that has not tended to get very much attention is also a mission and crew training. The one thing that we've learned out of the space shuttle program, and there's a tremendous investment made in maintaining the crew to the level of detail and the level of expertise necessary to fly reusable vehicles, and we really need to work on that if we are going to be successful in driving down the cost of our human access to space. Another one, of course, is durable thermal protection systems. There are a number of activities and technologies underway to reduce thermal protection systems, and that is a key element and ranks very high on driving our costs for reusable systems. This next one is the discussion that a lot of people talk about, market elasticity, and this notion that if we're able to reduce the cost of access to space, then the market will grow substantially. A lot of us would like to believe it. It is yet to be proven, and I think it will be a key element as we go look for the investment necessary to pursue reusables as to whether or not we can truly drive down our cost to the dollars per pound that we believe is going to be successful. Frankly, we believe to be successful and get some market elasticity is we have to drive the price down to less than $100 per pound. And the last bullet is commercial applications beyond commercial satellites. That is really what has fueled this drive to reduce the cost of access to space. As was pointed out earlier on by Gary Payton, you know, there's been a significant reduction in the cost of satellites, but we in the launch services business still have a long ways to go. And if we are going to be successful going after that FedEx market, after that the space tourism market, which allows the elasticity to occur, then we do have to be successful driving our cost down, which is really what this panel is all about. See, I'd like to summarize a few key points in the following. First is, clearly the Boeing Company has been involved and will continue to be involved in providing access to space with our Delta program, our innovations with regard down to driving down operational costs with Sea Launch, and frankly, we have the only and have developed the only reusable space system today called the Space Shuttle. And while we recognize that the space shuttle does get a lot of heat because of its cost, it's providing a very vital mission to not only the United States but to the globe as we look at what's going on for the International Space Station to fly some 44 manifest to a deploy station that will provide a wonderful access for the development of science for global use. We are working very diligently to drive down the cost of shuttle as a partner with Lockheed Martin and United Space Alliance, and I think you would find our track record rather impressive as we look to significantly reduce the cost of shuttle operations. That does not mean it does not make sense to go pursue future systems. We believe that the space transportation market is strong, as fueled by the commercial market, and will continue to be strong for many years to come. We strongly support the government's involvement in technology, but believe fundamentally that the decision for what sort of vehicles will be operating in this low-cost access to space must be a market-driven solution and not influenced by the governments. Otherwise, we find ourselves in a position where the governments tend to influence their individual needs as opposed to the market capabilities. It's not a question of when RLVs will come online, or not a question of if RLVs will come online. The question is when. And we, as said, very much believe in the single-staged orbit technology, but fundamentally believe that in order to get the right investment, it's going to take two-staged orbit as the evolution to move us into a fully reusable systems. Within the Boeing Company, I have responsibility for those reusable systems, and am currently working and spending a lot of my time focusing on what makes good business sense for the two-staged orbits to be successful in the market and what the appropriate timing for that is. And when we are prepared with that, we, the Boeing Company, will stand up and give you some insights into the details and timing for that market. That concludes my presentation. Thank you for your attention. Do you have any questions?
Rick, are you back in business now with the sea launch?
Yes, we are. For those of you who are not aware, we did have some challenges with our sea launch program, principally driven by the technology transfer requirements established with the United States. In fact, there's an area that that the government, at least of the United States, can certainly help us out with, is break down some of the barriers, recognizing there are sensitive technologies that we need to safeguard. But yes, we there's a press release out issued today that has us back on track and in the good graces of the United States government, and we're continuing on with our sea launch program. See, with no further questions, I will sit down. Thank you.
Thank you very much.